Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. And excited now to talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. He joins us every Thursday at 2. And no NHL to talk about, but we got some Olympic hockey. It is finally here, Greg, and the U.S. about to drop the puck in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, against Latvia. And with the knowledge that Canada put the smackdown on the Czechs. So we'll see how the U.S. responds to that. Look, it's going to be a long-distance conversation between these two teams, Canada and the U.S., until they play each other, right? I mean, they know what Canada did in this game against the Czechs. They're going to have to respond in kind to let them know that they are every bit the favorite in this tournament. So probably not good news for Latvia that the U.S. is going to be that motivated. But we'll see what happens in this game.
And I'm curious to see, like you said, to see where things go. But, you know, does it ultimately come down to Canada and the U.S.? Because I feel like they are the two strongest teams as we start this tournament.
Easily. I mean, especially with the injury losses for the other two teams that are probably in the conversation. Finland is missing Alexander Barkov, the star center for the Florida Panthers, who was, for my money, the main reason why they won back-to-back Stanley Cups. And Sweden is missing Leo Carlsson, who's a big, strong, young center for the Anaheim Ducks, who maybe could give them a little help when they have to go up against, let's say, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, and Connor McDavid, which is what Canada has up the gut in this tournament. So, yeah, I think the U.S. and Canada are the class of the tournament. But keep in mind what happened in Sochi, where we had Canada and the U.S. in different groups. Sweden ends up winning three games in regulation while the U.S. and Canada went to overtime in one of their games. And all of a sudden, instead of it being the U.S. and Canada battling for gold, it was the U.S. and Canada meeting in the semifinals. And it wouldn't shock me if we don't get a gold medal game between these two teams, if they end up meeting in the semifinals because Sweden ends up maybe with a higher seed than one of them going into the medal round.
How much do you put into, like, you know, we've talked a little bit today about Finland's performance and Slovakia beating them 4-1. Obviously, that affects UC Saros and how people view him. How much do you look at the international play in the middle of the season and how it might affect a guy later on when the NHL resumes?
I think it's important because, I mean, this is going to be a good reset for some guys. Like, anyone who watched Sweden in that game against Italy, and boy, did Italy give him a scare, huh? For a little bit in that game. You know, Elias Pettersson is not exactly having the greatest season with the Vancouver Canucks, but you watch him in that game for Sweden, it's like watching a different guy. He's buzzing around the net, he's being physical and stuff, and, you know, this is a chance for these guys to kind of maybe reset the narrative, maybe get a little bit more confidence going back into the NHL. I mean, by God, like, One guy we saw today was Jordan Binnington. You know, Jordan Binnington is the guy who's had an absolutely atrocious season for the St. Louis Blues. Analytically, the worst goalie in the league. And he pitches a shutout for Team Canada and plays well enough where maybe it calms down some of the discussion about his status as the starter for that team. So, you know, this could have been a nice chance for UC to get his confidence up and maybe come back and play to his standards, which he certainly hasn't done this year for Nashville. But it wasn't really the greatest launching point.
Greg, how much consternation do NHL GMs have with their guys playing in the Olympics? I mean, are they watching with one eye closed? Right?
Well, it's funny. Like, a lot of these guys that are GMs are former players. So there's a part of them that, you know, obviously loves the fact that we're back in the Olympics, that the NHL players of today get a chance to do what they got to do. I mean, like Bill Guerin, for example, the GM of Team USA and the GM of the Minnesota Wild was an Olympian. I mean, it means a lot to these guys. I think that these players get a chance to represent their countries. But ultimately, it is, you know, side-eyeing the tournament and hoping all these guys come back in one piece, because the last thing you want is for an injury to happen in what is essentially an exhibition tournament to impact your team back in the NHL. It's one of the reasons why the teams themselves, the team owners in the NHL, aren't really fans of pausing the season to send their players to play in the tournament. It's the risk of injury. And then on top of that, the league and its teams getting little to no financial benefit for having their players take part in someone else's tournament. It's the constant push-pull to the point where the players have to collectively bargain to make sure that they can get themselves in the Olympics.
When was the last time there was a break this long mid-season?
I mean, we had Four Nations last February. I think that was a bit of a shorter break than this one. But, you know, anytime we have the Olympics, you probably have to go back to 2014 and the Sochi Olympics. You do have a break this long. And look, it was impactful. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe that some of the injuries that we've seen this season are due to the compacted schedule that we've had in order to compensate for the Olympic break. But the bottom line is that, you know, I saw somebody, maybe it was Paul Bissonnette, calling for the season to be shortened in Olympic years. I mean, good luck with that. Who's making up that money? Who's making up that money the owners are losing? It's definitely the players. So it's tough. I mean, it's, again, like if you polled the owners, they probably wouldn't want to send their players to the Olympics. But I mean, the bottom line is that if the players want to go, they're going to have to suffer through the ancillary consequences, like having to play more games in a shorter period of time to compensate for the Olympic break.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Aren't they going to 84 games like next year?
Yeah, they are. They're going to 84 games next year to make sure that everybody plays each other in the in your division, and you get all those rivalry games. So it ain't like the season's getting any shorter.
So I got bored last night and started playing the video game, and you know, you can customize stuff, and I decided, what would this look like if they adopted an NFL model and you had divisions, essentially four in each conference. Four divisions of four in each conference. I kind of like it. Do you ever see, and I know expansion is, you know, still out there and all that, could you ever see a scenario like that where they go more to that model instead of the two divisions in each conference?
Well, it's a good question, and I think it's been a while since we've had a change in the format of the league. I mean, maybe we have to wait for expansion for that thing to happen, but I mean, you know, if you ask any of the players, the majority of them don't like the current playoff format. They want to go back to a 1-versus-8 format that we had for years before the wild card system came in about 12 or 13 years ago. In some cases, it's because that's what some of these guys grew up with. In other cases, it's just because they don't feel like the higher seeds get much of an advantage, and they're tired of seeing the same playoff series force-fed to us because of the current format. I mean, my God, I'm going to lose my mind if I have to see the LA Kings, the Edmonton Oilers for a fifth straight season, but it's a distinct possibility based on the current playoff format. So I don't know about the divisional alignment. That might change when we get expansion, but there's always going to be a conversation, at least about the playoff format.
Greg, going back to the Olympics, I watched Miracle the other night. I mean, it's such a great movie. And what Kurt Russell says at the end about, you know, doing Herb Brooks about having, you know, later on they would have these dream teams that would come. He goes, but we had the original dream team. Will there ever be a scenario where you go back to amateurs? Would you like to see that, where you have amateurs playing instead of the professionals in the Olympics in hockey?
Well, I mean, when the NHL doesn't go, it's kind of sort of what we have. I think the problem with that sort of dream, and you know, again, like, people forget. I mean, we had amateurs, but a lot of the other players, teams in that tournament in 1980 had professionals. I mean, like, it was you know, like the Russians and other people like that. I think the issue is that if we, you know, went with a bunch of college kids, which was kind of what we did in Beijing and in Pyeongchang when the NHL decided not to go, you're still going up against the professional league players from Finland and Sweden and Russia. So it's almost like you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. And, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, if you get a chance to get the best players in the world all in a short track tournament to determine who's going to win a gold medal for their country, I think that's exponentially better than having some kid from Minnesota that you've never heard of trying to play and represent his country. No disrespect to Minnesota. I think we've got the format that we want here, and hopefully the NHL continues to find reasons to send their players, because it's the best hockey you can imagine.
It is. I mean, you look at, you know, Ruzioni, Jim Craig. I mean, those guys are cemented forever for what they did. I mean, it truly is. And by the way, that might be the greatest sports movie of all time, just the way it was shot and everything was so good. But, I mean, I guess do we lose heroes a little bit by not doing this? Because nobody thought they'd win in 1980, right?
Well, no, they didn't. And you know, I think for better or for worse, I think that that win has informed USA Hockey for the next, like, four decades.
Right.
But I'll say this. I mean, like, we may not have the Miracle on Ice surprise of like, a Team USA beating Russia. But we do have new heroes, you know, like Ryan Miller of the Buffalo Sabres became a household name when he backstopped the U.S. to the gold medal game in Vancouver. T.J. Oshie, my coworker now at ESPN, you know, got himself on like a box of Wheaties for the way he played in that shootout against Russia. So, I mean, while we might not have teams that are blue collar lunch pail amateurs that no one knows, every time we have an Olympics, it's not going to necessarily be, you know, Austin Matthews or one of the bigger stars on Team USA that makes a difference. It'll probably be like Matt Boldy or somebody who scores the biggest goal to give the U.S. a gold medal, hopefully.
I'll say this, too. Your coworker, TJ Oshie, does a fantastic job. I've actually really enjoyed having him.
Yeah, he's doing great. And then also we bought on Eric Johnson, a longtime NHL defenseman, and I think he's done a really good job too, especially with having played the game recently, you know, and I think he has a certain camaraderie with the players, especially when he's covering the Colorado Avalanche. I rarely see Nathan MacKinnon get jokey with anyone, but he likes to get jokey with Eric Johnson, which is good.
How, as the Team USA just gets underway, how beneficial is it to Mike Sullivan to have John Tortorella on his staff? Because I feel like that's one that probably flies under the radar. But, you know, obviously John Hines, David Quinn do a great job as well. But Torts has so much experience, and to be able to lean on that has to be beneficial.
I mean, provided they're not going to play John Tortorella's system with all that offensive firepower on the roster, I'm pretty good with it. But I think, you know, having him there is important because I think he's someone who has the reputation of playing more of a defensive system, but more than anything else, he's someone who really tries to keep players on the details, on execution. And ultimately in this Olympic tournament, that's what it comes down to is not making mistakes, not allowing teams that maybe you should beat to stay in games. And if nothing else, I think he's going to have that level of motivation on the U.S. bench.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program. Greg, go watch the game. Enjoy it. Thanks so much as always.
All right, let's get cracking. The Canadians have put down their hand. Let's see if we can beat it at the old poker table.
Yeah, I am hoping so. Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program every Thursday at 2, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll keep you updated on USA and Latvia coming up next
Plus,
throughout the show.
Somebody has texted in a death in sports, which is not what you're thinking about, but he makes a great point. It was very impactful for the sport.
Okay, we'll talk about that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.